you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 7th, 2023. Today's topic is What is Community? And that was a reading from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. May that be true of all of us today as we cling to Jesus, as we serve him, and as we love on each other and follow his leading into this very day. And we have a new guest. We have Al from Rantoul joining us today. Melissa brought this friend who's helping, volunteering, and assisting. And our regulars, the Zools, the Fernalds, and Alaric, as always, along with Pastor Jason Schiffo. And so what is community? And for those of you that can still make it to Springfield today, at 10 a.m., we're going to be assembling a special newsletter that'll be going out. In light of all the storms and the weather, 9 of our stations were knocked off the air, so we're trying to raise funds for a backup generator, backup internet service, and a few other things. So we'll be sending out a mailing today. And if you've been a donor the last 3 to 4 years, you'll receive that. And please respond. As you know, we're 100% listener supported. We don't do share-a-thons or on-air fundraisers, so your support can make a difference for all eternity. So be looking for that mailing in the coming days. And if you want to volunteer anytime between, say, 10 and 3 o'clock, call us, and we'd love to have you come in and help for a little while. 217-528-2300, our WLUJ studio in Springfield, 600 West Mason Street. Come on out and have some fun. All right, Jason, so what is community?
That's a question for the group. What is community? When I say the word community, what do you think? What images does it bring to mind? How would you define that? What is community?
Fellowship.
Fellowship, okay. Now, define that word a little more, because maybe somebody happened upon this dial who isn't in the church world, and they're going, what is fellowship? Is that a guy who's on a boat? A fellowship?
It is a gathering of folks that can pray together, support one another, and worship God together.
Excellent. Anybody else? What is community? We're all here together.
Well, several of us attend Bible study fellowship. What a wonderful community from Christians of all different denominations, and some are not Christians. Some are just getting started in their belief, and that is community. We support each other, which I find so amazing every time I attend.
Excellent. Anyone else? What is community?
I always consider community as being the people that live near you, mm-hmm. and that you participate in life with.
Okay.
And that was Elmer Zuhr who opened up our time in prayer. And using the King James, I think I heard "Thou Lord" a few times in your prayers, but he prayed us all up. So I trust we're going to be a blessing to you as we continue with our discussion on what is community.
Yep. Anybody else? What is community?
Jobs.
Jobs. Okay. Yep. There are jobs within maybe the context of a community. So when I looked up community in the dictionary, it says this: a group living in the same place or space with a common interest, attitudes, or goals. They are the same and they are alike. And I found that interesting because I was thinking the other day, prior to discerning what we might talk about today, and I was thinking about all the different communities that we have. You know, we have the elderly community, we have the sporting community, we have the gay community, we have all different kinds of communities. And they're all defined by what they're for, or what they do together. They're all bound together by a similar thing and a similar attitude. And maybe even some of those communities gather in the same place, like maybe the Lions Club or something like that. That's a community. And it's interesting because we use the word community a lot in church. In fact, churches love to use the word community because people in the world are desperately starved for community. They're desperately starved for connection.
And the church wants to reach the community.
Right, yeah, the church wants to reach the community. But here's the thing that I find fascinating, is that most people who wander through the doors of a church have community defined as the world defines it, right? People who have similar interests and attitudes and goals, who are the same and who are alike. And yet the verse that Mark opened up with today from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 says this: there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, nor male or female, you are all one in Christ. Which means, when Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, he's saying, in your church, you've got Jews and Greeks, you've got slaves and free people, you've got male and female. And yet, you've got this one thing that binds you together. See, I think, I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag early. I think the church isn't a community like the world defines it. In fact, I think the church is a gathering of people that none of us would probably ever be connected to otherwise. We have people who come from all different kinds of backgrounds, a diversity of experiences and gifts and all kinds of things. And that's what makes the church beautiful. The church isn't supposed to be a bunch of people who are trying to be like one another, who are trying to figure out how they can look Christian. They're a bunch of people who are bound together by Christ and who live beautifully out of the gifts and the differences that they have. I mean, when we look at the church, we should look and go like, look at all these wacky different people, all brought together, people who have interests in all different kinds of things. I mean, a room full of places where you would have an artist and an economist sitting next to each other and speaking in a common language, where in any other place in the world, the artist might be going, I just like feel this and I paint this, and the economist would be going, I don't understand what you're saying, but 2 + 2 = 4. And so the beauty of the church is that it's a community of people who don't look like one another, who don't have all the same interests, who don't... Now listen, they have the same attitudes because they have the attitude of Christ. They have the same thoughts, hopefully, or at least the same thing guiding their thoughts because they have Christ, but they're all different kinds of people. One of my favorite verses is Romans 1:14. I love this verse. It's one of my favorites. And Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, man, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he says, man, I can't wait to come and hang out with you guys. I mean, there's going to be some amazing things that are going to happen when I get there. But then he says this curious thing. He says, but while I'm there, I just want you to know, and by the way, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to have to make some time to go hang out with the Greeks and the Gentiles and even the barbarians. Now, I think Paul did that because the barbarians threw the best parties because they were wild people. But listen, one of the things that maybe we don't think about when we think about this verse is the fact that that meant that when Paul went and shared the gospel with the Greeks and the Gentiles and the barbarians, that suddenly the church was going to find itself with a few barbarians, Greeks, and Gentiles in their midst. And those people come with a different diversity of background, don't they? Those people probably don't walk in the door looking Christian. See, what I think sometimes happens in church, and I want you guys to weigh in on maybe some of your thoughts, is that people come into church and then they try and figure out how they can fit in. They try and figure out how they can dress to look Christian, how they can talk to look Christian, how they can walk and conduct themselves to look Christian. And in doing so, they sometimes give up the very thing that God has gifted them and called them to be. I had a kid who came up to me a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, and they said, man, I just want to serve Jesus like crazy. I think I need to go in the missions field. And I said, yeah, but you're like a musician. Like you make this kid can make amazing music. He's like, yeah. But I mean, I just don't know how I serve Jesus making music. And I said, you go and you make music to the glory of God. That's what you do. I said, if you take the gifts that God gives you and you go into the spaces where those gifts allow you to go into, that's called a mission field. We think a mission field means that I hook up with some mission organization, I fly across the ocean, I preach the gospel to some lost tribe of people. No, listen. The mission field is everywhere you go where you live out of the gifts that God has given you. Because this kid with his musical gifts could get into spaces that I could never get into. And because of me and the things that I do, I can go into spaces that maybe some of you can't. and in the same way. So what do you think about that? I mean, have you ever been in places where you feel like, man, I feel like how do I fit in here? Anybody?
Well, I'll give you a great example. Like somebody who was a gifted administrator, an assistant to a dean, could have had great influence in the academics, in the academic world, and yet she felt called to the mission field and kind of gave all that up and paired with a mission organization and did a good work. But I kept thinking she would have been so much more, in my mind, more effective influencing the deans and the students and the people on the campus. And I always kind of thought, I wish she would have stayed in that vocation serving God and having an impact right where she was instead of thinking she had to go overseas. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what you say.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I was going to say the mission, I always kind of look forward to going to church on Sunday and thinking that if I sit down next to someone else, that's the mission field. I'm to explain what I believe to the guy next to me.
Sure.
To bringing the Lord and encouraging the next fellow to go out and telling his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our mission field is wherever we are, mm-hmm. is to share what we have, what we know about the Lord.
Anybody else? Melissa is chomping at the bit.
You know, I hear what everyone is saying, and I think we would be remiss not to. We're talking about this from a Christian perspective, which absolutely, I love that. We need to look at it also when we say community, that some people hear that word and they're not putting that with the Christian context. And so we live in a world where people are very much isolated these days. We have more loneliness, I think, right now in our country than probably we ever have, especially coming out of the pandemic. And there are many people who feel very intimidated by community, or they feel not good enough. They don't feel like they're enough to go and join, or they feel, they feel depressed. Maybe there's mental health issues there, mm-hmm. to just kind of keeping them indoors. And I think this is a very, I came today to talk about community because I think this is a very, very big topic in our world today, especially coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah, wouldn't it be good if the church, maybe on the marquee, would say, this is a place for addicts, for adulterers, for anyone who has fallen apart, messed up, who feels far from the Lord, who, this is a place for every, the church is a hospital. It's not a country club.
So I always think I've said this for years, you know, it's not God that keeps people out of church. It's people.
Of course.
That keeps people out of church.
The common thing I hear is I'll come to church once I get my act together. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you'll never get your act together until you encounter Jesus. Because it's only Jesus who can bring us together. But not only does Jesus bring us together, our mess, but Jesus binds us up with other people who have been through the same kind of mess. I mean, I find people all the time who roll into church and they're like, I've been struggling with drug addiction. And I said, really? And they go, yeah, and the first person I met was Tom. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing, because, you know, Tom, he came out of addiction. Now, how is it that the first person that somebody meets when they come to church sometimes is the very person that they need to talk to? It's because that's what God was doing. God brought healing by binding them up with somebody.
As I love to put people on the spot, Al, you have some thoughts on community, because
yeah,
you go from one community to another to volunteer, to assist, to help.
Well, ironically, we have a new church in Rantoul that just started a couple weeks ago, and it's called Rantoul Community Church.
Hmm.
And they just moved into a building that they bought. It's starting out small. The Pastor Mike is the pastor there, and I have a couple of friends that are going there. And so, you know, they're going to build something.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, we started out like that. We started in a Bible study, met in a bowling alley, finally moved into another facility that we remodeled. But, you know, when people come, you know, we have a fellow that comes to our church on Sunday morning on his garden tractor. He backs it in there in a spot,
yeah,
walks in, you know, and sits in the back, and everybody's accepted. They come just as they are. And, you know, you talk about we're responsible for bringing Jesus to people. You know, we have to bring Jesus to people. They have to
totally
see Jesus in us by us loving them and accepting them just as they are, just as they dress,
mm-hmm.
just as they talk. It doesn't matter. And a lot of people that come into church, they may not know why they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here this Sunday? Maybe somebody invited me, or maybe I saw, we have a marquee in front of our church, invites people to come. And I've talked to a couple of people that said, I always like to find out after they come a while, how'd you happen to end up at our church? He said, well, I saw that sign out front.
Yeah.
Well, that sign got him in the door, but you've heard the old adage about They come in the front door and they go out the back door.
Totally.
The object is you want to keep them there Sunday after Sunday.
And so one of the things I think is that if we would individually embrace the way that God has made us and who we are in Him. Now, who we are in Christ, definitely, because Christ saves us. But who we are, who God made us to be, whether we're an artist or a musician or an economist or whoever we are, we're a farmer, we like to ride our garden tractor. I think that when we embrace that, we're actually at our most comfortable and effective for the gospel. So I'll use this as an example. Generally, if you run into me, especially on a Sunday morning, I'm wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. Sometimes I'll put a little sweater over the top to make it look like I'm dressed up. But here's the reason why. It's because if you put me in a shirt and tie, I am way less effective because I feel like I'm dying a little bit. I mean, you put that tie on and I'm like, help me, Lord, because I feel like they're about ready to hang me. Now, I'm not against shirts and ties, but for me personally, I just feel all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, like it's hard to move.
That's because of our many years with Jewel food stores.
It might be. I don't know. but it is. But that's just because I just want to be who God made me to be so that then I can be free to do what God wants me to do in the most effective ways. Plus, I've been with many people who are like, they're like, hey, just dress like me. And it opens up a conversation. Now, I'm not saying that that's the right way. That's just one way. But I think that there is many ways in which we express ourselves and we serve God. And I think that the only thing that matters, the only thing that we don't move on is who Jesus is. And so we're bound together in community as this great diversity of all different kinds of people. But Philippians 2 tells us that if there's any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort in His love, any fellowship together in the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate? By the way, when Paul says this, the people should be going, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, then he says this, then make my joy complete by being of one mind, the mind of Christ. And so that's what guides us and leads us. But we all look very different. And we all express ourselves in very different ways. And those different expressions allow us to share the gospel in spaces that maybe others might not be able to. We've been uniquely kind of gifted to be able to go into a space and be able to work for the Lord in a way that somebody else might not be able to. And those people can go into their spaces. And so I just always want to push back and say, because I realize, and I've encountered many times, I have a lot of people who would say to me, you know, Pastor, I just wish you'd wear some dress pants on a Sunday morning. I just wish that you'd wear some, you know, and I'm like, those shoes really hurt my feet, those dress shoes. You know, and so because there's a conforming, there's this desire to conform to a pattern, which is, by the way, a pattern of the world, so that we can look like what we think we ought to look like. I go down all the time to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, love them, love some of the things that they do down there. But when I go down there, one of the things that strikes me, and it was particularly striking when I took my son there. My son goes, he goes, Dad, everybody here dresses the same. They all wear the same colors. They all wear the same. They all wear the tie with the vest underneath it and the shirt and the jackets. They all look exactly. They all have brown dress shoes on. They all look the same. I go, yeah, they do, don't they? And he goes, Dad, this was my son when he was, I think he was 14. He goes, Dad, that probably means they can only reach one kind of people. And I go, boom, that's a mic drop. Because my son's going, these guys can't go into some spaces that are a little messier and dirtier. The people will be like, what are you doing here? Anybody else?
Well, I think it takes a good amount of maturity to be kind of what we would consider like a joiner or to get out in the world and tell your story and get around people and feel comfortable with that. And a lot of people, you know, they're not mature in Christ, right? And so they do hide in their homes. And we know that God wants us to be around other people. He made us to support each other. And, you know, I know after my husband passed away, I've been in church my entire life, but there was 5 years there where I just could not sit in church. And I wasn't one of those people, I didn't denounce God, I wasn't angry that I knew of, you know, I just couldn't sit there without bawling my eyes out. And I really retreated and kind of hid in my home. And I think we see that a lot today. So anybody listening that's feeling that way, I would just say, you know, when that day comes where you feel it on your heart, I need to get out today. I need to step out. I need to go to church this Sunday. You're feeling that for a reason. just be brave and get out there, because God will work through that. And when I worked at the church, I was always looking for that person. But some of the best churches I've been in were the motliest crews. We call those motley crews. And those are where you mix it all up, and it's just this huge blend of personalities. Mm-hmm. And they're not all alike, but they're all there, as you said, for a common cause for Jesus. But then you see that person walking in that's not really looking around. They've got their, we see this at the Salvation Army, with their head down, with their ball cap. As Christ followers in community, because we are more mature, we want to look for that person. And we want to make sure that we're delicate and fragile, but at the same time, we're inviting and comforting to them so that we can demonstrate Christ, right, to them. We can go to the people.
Yeah. And to that, I want to close with this, because we're short on time. But Galatians 6:2 says that we're called to bear one another's burdens. And listen, there are a lot of burdens that I don't even have any idea how to bear. But I know people who have had experiences in the great diversity and difference that we have in community that can bear those burdens. And so we can fulfill that scripture when we are all saying, listen, I used to be this. I used to be this. I struggled with this. And now we all imperfectly, and like you said, in a motley crew and in a very messy way, gather together to worship the one true and perfect thing, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can bring healing and wholeness. But he then calls us to walk alongside people through the experiences that he has done in bringing healing and wholeness. I love it when I see somebody walk in and they say, man, I've just been through a horrendous divorce. And somebody says, man, that was me about 10 years ago. You want to get a cup of coffee? Do you want to talk for a while? Can I help you? Can I pour life into a place where it feels like death for you? And then all of a sudden healing begins, and it's Christ who's doing that healing. Let's always make sure we say that. But he uses all those different experiences and different people to do that. And so let's not get rid of our differences and our diversity for the sake of kind of looking like one another. Instead, let's embrace that as we embrace Christ.
And my exhortation to the two camps, those of you that aren't affiliated with the church, maybe you don't feel you measure up or can go, please go. And those of you that are in church, extend that love, that compassion, that care, as God taught us all. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor. Love those people that come into the church. May that be true for all of us this weekend and always. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and a room of friends.
And a motley crew.
And a motley crew with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.